It's the last Saturday of the month, which means it's time once again for the last thing. You know the drill, but in case there's any new listeners, it's a segment where we find out the last great book or the last great song or the last great place a guest has enjoyed. Today, I'm joined by Sam Guthrie. For 25 years, Sam worked in international relations as a diplomat for the Australian government and also the private sector, crisscrossing Europe, the United States and Asia. Well, from living an international thrilling life, he now writes international thrillers. His most recent novel is The Peak. Sam, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thanks so much, Nick. Hopefully a thrilling discussion to come.
Your latest novel is The Peak. It's an espionage thriller that promises an insider's look at Beijing's shadowy halls of power. It's a novel, but Sam, are these sort of thrillers semi-autobiographical?
Well, I mean, that was my interest in writing this. I drew a lot on my time in the consulate in Hong Kong. I was deputy consul general there during a bit of a curly period of Hong Kong protests. And, you know, I spent a career briefing ministers, briefing corporate people on the geopolitical issues. I think it's really important that the regular person in the street can access those sort of issues. And so writing a book, writing a thriller that deals with Hong Kong, Australia relations, that deals with US-China relations, that was my ambition, and so that was the focus of the book.
The Cold War is the quintessential setting for so many spy novels, but we're seeing this shift, aren't we, to novels that focus on, as you say, the relationship between China, the United States, Australia as well.
Well, that's why I think The Peak has generated a fair amount of interest both in Australia and in the UK. You know, forever we've been writing about the Cold War or espionage in the Middle East, but the next major geopolitical flare will occur in the Pacific. It'll be between the US and it'll be with China. And Australia is right in the middle of that. So the view from Australia into these sort of issues, I think, is a fascinating one.
What is it about the rise of thrillers and the rise of spy novels? I mean, one of the great successes on TV right now, of course, is Slow Horses, isn't it? The Mick Herron series. You know, Jackson Lamb has replaced the John le Carré figures. George Smiley is the kind of face of British espionage, and James Bond as well. I mean, why this fascination at the moment?
I think there's always been a fascination between, you know, from le Carré through the Cold War up into Herron writing now, and when it's really pitch perfect, it's that a story that can talk about these big geopolitical issues, but right at the forefront, explore them through the eyes of a character, often a flawed character. You know, Smiley was slightly overweight and very unfashionable. You know, the key character in Herron is quite grotesque, but it's through their eyes, through the pressure placed on these individuals and their experience of these geopolitical rifts that I think you get entry into those issues. And it becomes more fun, more interesting.
Let's get to your last things. And I think your last great book is actually a spy thriller, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, Nicholas Shakespeare, for me, he's up there with the Graham Greens and the le Carrés and does exactly that, writes about these big geopolitical issues with flawed characters up front. I've loved Nicholas since The Dancer Upstairs, which was a wonderful book all about the in Peru, the Shining Path and the Colonel Regis hunting down the revolutionary Ezekiel. All of that story was told through the lens or the eyes of John Dyer, a foreign correspondent. And Shakespeare's brought back Dyer once before in a book called The Sandpit that came out a couple of years ago, again, dealing with these big international issues, Iran, nuclear scientists and whatnot. And his most recent, Frame 37, he does the same thing. This time it's all about, or set against the backdrop of US presidential election, potentially a somewhat Trumpian or post-Trumpian election. And he's searching for what may have caused the death of a friend. And he goes back through memory. It's set in Tasmania, Argentina, Michigan. But again, it's about this flawed character and how he is interacting with the geopolitics that are shaping our world.
That's quite the kind of scene, isn't it? Argentina, Tasmania, the United States. That is globalized literature for sure. Next up, the great last play that you saw.
I was lucky enough to see An Iliad, which is, as the name describes, it's an adaptation of Homer's Iliad. This one is written by Lisa Peterson and Dennis O'Hare. I saw it as a one-person play with the great David Wenham and wonderful composer Helen Svoboda. But it's the telling of the entire saga of the Iliad, the attack on the walls of Troy. Now, this is a story that's been told in great cinematic quality with lots of blood and gore and celebration of the war itself. But this telling, it was just, again, it was almost like seeing a geopolitical thing through the lens of an individual and telling the stories more of compassion and grief and the tragedy of war. It sort of focused on Achilles and his best friend Patroclus and the loss that they suffered, about Hector and Priam, his father, begging to get the body back after Hector slayed on the field of war. And there was one moment in this where just they stepped out of telling the story and talked about, there was a list of every war that had occurred since Troy all the way through the Second World War, Vietnam, to the invasion of Ukraine and Iran right now, talking about how the themes remain the same throughout that time. It was absolutely fascinating, really compelling.
I'm gutted to say I've missed this play so far. But I hear that was just an electrifying moment when that list of wars was read out. I mean, how long did it take? I mean, it's a long list.
It's a long list, and a theatrical marvel that he could remember all of them in his head. It was such a long list. It felt like, in the room, it felt like it went on for hours, and I think that was the point.
David Wenham is such a fantastic actor, isn't he? We had him on the show. You can listen back on ABC Listen, and I think he's a listener to the show, actually. And he's got rave reviews, hasn't he, for this performance.
Absolutely.
And Iliad. The last great Australian town that you visited.
I was lucky enough to go on a trip last weekend, to a town called Burrawa. It's just outside Canberra, near Yass. It's a sheep town. The wool merriman there and the merriman stud has merino stock, the finest sheep wool that turns into Italian cloth and Savile Row suits and whatnot. I'd been there many years before when I was in the wool industry to see they do the running of the sheep down the main street. Right, there's like bulls in Pampola. This is sheep down the main street of Burrawa.
I love it. The tourism agency would be listening and thinking, oh, that's a good idea.
Indeed, it'll catch on. But we went there for a Burrawa Literary Festival. This is something set up by a guy called Jeremy Clark. He's a former Jesuit priest, a China historian, and he runs something called the Absolutely Superb Bibliotheque and Occasional Wine Bar. and they had a wonderful literary festival. We had Chris Hammer, Carolyn Overington, Kimberly Elsop, and a number of other writers. But again, it was a great opportunity there in the old courthouse. They interviewed us in the dock where the prisoner used to be interviewed, and again, being able to talk to people about big geopolitical themes in their own backyard, and it was just one of those great opportunities.
These small town literary festivals are becoming quite the thing, aren't they? And it's a wonderful sort of contribution to sort of intellectual life in Australia and literary life in Australia.
They're just the best because there's not a wall between the speaker and the audience, and people feel free to ask questions, sometimes quite curly ones.
Yeah, and going from small town Australia in the bush to the Big Apple, New York. Tell me about your favourite library.
Well, I was just there in New York, happily talking to a screen agent about The Peak. All the senses of New York, noise, chaos, all of that, I found a solace in the Rose main reading room in New York Public Library, an absolutely brilliant space, like a celebration of people going to read, to contemplate, to meditate, and I finished my second novel there, so I was very excited.
Fantastic. And that is music to your ears, presumably. Having a conversation with a screenwriter or a screen agent about The Peak in New York City.
In New York City.
Well, that sounds good, and we hope it comes to the screen. Sam Guthrie, a diplomat turned thriller writer, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you for your company this morning. Thank you, as ever, to the Saturday Extra team, executive producer Belinda Summer, Nicole Kirby, Nick Baker, and studio engineer Anne-Marie de Bettencourt. Rear Vision is up next. It will look at the American Revolutionary, and specifically, it was how it was a very bloody and a very divisive internal conflict. That's certainly something that we have covered in our America 250 series. And I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the interviews we have done with Jill Lepore, one of the country's preeminent historians, Ken Burns, one of its great documentarians. And today we had Shelby Steele, one of the country's leading black intellectuals. That has really lit up the text line. Many of you got a lot from that conversation. I am Nick Bryan. It is Saturday morning in Australia. That, as ever, is my favourite time. Have a great weekend.